Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast podcast for the week of December 6th, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff this week. Chris, you and I both saw Home Sweet Home Alone for a commentary that's going to go up right in time for Christmas. So we'll talk about that a little, later on in the show. And all the bizarre, baffling decisions in that movie. But we'll kick things off with, we got a ton of trailers to dig into to start our things off with. And we got the final trailer for The Matrix Resurrections, which is basically 2 weeks away. December 22nd is when it's out, so pretty much right around the corner on HBO Max and in theaters. And yeah, lots more Matrix-y stuff going on. Probably the biggest thing from this new trailer is that they seem to be confirming that Jonathan Groff, who was in Mindhunters and a bunch of other shows and movies and stuff, is basically some sort of like smarmy new like Agent Smith. Like he's like a new version of Agent Smith, or just like a smarmy douchebag version of Agent Smith.
He's like reincarnated.
Yeah. It seems like everyone is like everyone's reincarnated or like older or something. Cause there's like a whole, there's also like the crazy, like Jada Pinkett Smith is like, so, like an old lady now in this, whatever this Matrix version is. You kind of see like her, like Naomi briefly, but then also Morpheus is totally new. Yeah.
She's been, I think she's like the original, like, at least my theory she's
the Oracle now?
She survived.
Yeah.
I see her as more of a survivor than just an Oracle character.
Well, then how long has it been since, Revolutions ended then? Like, it's been, like, decades?
Probably decades. Or it's that like cycle repeat, so this is the third Naomi or something. Like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. This weird like reincarnation story.
But yeah, tons of action, tons of like throwbacks to the original movie. They're really playing up like Neo has like this like Force push power now, and they're really like playing that up, and like that's like his new big power is like he's just like force pushing people or like missiles and stuff, along with doing like his usual, like he's like stopping bullets and doing karate, just doing his kung fu, and probably flying. It'll probably fly around at some point.
Yeah, it's the standard package superpower thing. The force push though is just kind of like OP.
Yes, it seems really OP. It's just like he just like blast everyone and just like kill anything he needs to.
Yeah, it's like a very convenient plot thing where it's just like, oh, I'm trapped, force power. Oh, I need to open this door, force power.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it looks really good. So hopefully it will like kind of bring things back to like the first movie, and then kind of like maybe get away from like some of the stuff of the sequels. Even though, I mean, there's lots of good stuff in the sequels, but like they're obviously not as good as the first one. So hopefully this is more leaning toward the first one. But yeah, we'll find out in like basically 2 weeks or so here. So I'm sure we'll talk about that as soon as when it comes out. And then we also got the first teaser for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is part one, which I don't think we all expected to be part one, but the part one of the two-part sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So, Miles is back, and Gwen Stacy shows back up in Miles's universe, and then, but now instead of like everyone coming to Miles's universe, like he's going to like other Spider people's universes, including our boy Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, He's like that's the that was the big like finale of the trailer is like he's like fighting Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, I could see basically because I think Miguel is aware of what like what's happening in the timelines. It just no one else does.
Well, I think that was the tease at the end of Into the Spider-Verse, just like what's Miguel's like
AI partner.
AI. Yeah, she was like you gotta like I'm detecting like anomalies or something. That's what, exactly what it was, but it's like that like the AI was like aware of like the other universes or like some sort of like, new threat to like the multiverse. But yeah, Oscar Isaac is Miguel O'Hara, and then Shameik Moore and Hailee Steinfeld are back from the first one. Jake Johnson's also be back as Peter B. Parker, and then Issa Rae is going to be Jessica Drew, aka Spider Woman. And then I don't think there's no actor cast yet, but Japanese Spider-Man is going to appear as well, Takuya Yamashira, all, with Leopardon, his like giant mech. So. Yeah, it must at some point Miles must like end up in like Japanese Spider-Man universe or something. But yeah, I mean it looks amazing as like just like the same just amazing art style as the first one. And
Right,
like
right.
I think like even leaning like even harder into like it like the this trailer was like so freaking stylized.
I feel
Especially the
like they like kind of perfected that Spider-Man engine.
Yeah.
So it does look pretty good. It just seems like this takes place the next day after like the events of Spider-Verse, or
I
maybe
yeah.
like 2 days later.
Hopefully it's a little bit longer than just like, oh, the next day it's just like, well, there's new we I'm back. We got there's new threats to deal with. But yeah, so part one is gonna be October next year, and then part two is gonna be the following year. I don't think there's a release date yet for part two, but it will be the year after. And then there's gonna be a spin-off focusing on all the female characters, so like Gwen and Jessica Drew and anyone else that shows up are gonna. I think they mentioned like Silk is gonna show up too, so like there's gonna be like a Spider-Woman spin-off, Spider-Women. Spin-off movie.
Like it's cool to see more Spider-Man characters. It's
Yeah.
just the Miles Morales just one facet, and they're really just trying to make it the Miles Morales and Friends show.
I wonder if they're ever gonna get Miles into live action. Like if we're gonna get an MCU Miles at any point.
Did tease though, and Tom Holland was like, "Yeah, I might not be Spider-Man," and then Marvel like threw a shitload of money at him. He goes like, "Never mind."
Yeah. And then I mean I like Donald Glover was what's Miles' uncle Aaron, like he was like that character, he was Prowler basically. I mean he wasn't in costume, but he was the character, so that implies, and he says his nephew,
Essentially.
so like there is a Miles somewhere in the MCU. It just maybe he hasn't got bit by a spider yet or anything, but. Or they would just go crazy and just have like the like Into the Spider-Verse Miles like crosses over into live action, like yeah that's this is like oh I'm in like a weird like 3D like what universe is this I'm in like a it's like it'd be like that The Simpsons when like Homer like went to 3D and then came into our world like
Yeah.
but yeah definitely excited like Into Spider-Verse was like easily I think that was like I think I did put that like it's like number one for like 2018 it's like for like favorite movies of the year so
Yeah, it was pretty good. You got definitely like a taste of it. Someone who's a fan of the comics, like it was great to see that come to life and done decently. They really could have dropped the ball at any point, but they just kind of leaned into it.
So we also got the first trailer for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is I think we've lost count of like what number reboot this is, but
Seven?
they're rebooting or like sort of rebooting Texas Chainsaw Massacre again. So they're basically kind of pulling a Halloween because they're doing a, the first one exists, all the other sequels are tossed out. This new movie that's going to be a Netflix exclusive is the, like, the true sequel now to the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And it's going to be, it features, like, it's going to feature an older Leatherface. He's, like, 60 years old at this point.
Oh, they're playing Halloween.
Yes, that's what I said. But yeah, full Halloween. Just a new group of teenagers show up and disturb his house, and they all start getting murdered by him. And yeah, even more Halloween, because they're like, even though Sally Hardesty, who was obviously the final girl of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the actress who played her, Marilyn Burns, died in 2014, but they are recasting her, so they're gonna have like an older Sally Hardesty, like kind of like being like, I guess like a like Jamie Lee Curtis style of like trying to getting revenge on Leatherface or something.
Which makes sense.
And there is a new Leatherface. Mark Burnham is Leatherface, and then we've got a bunch of young actors, including like Elsie Fisher, who was in Eighth Grade and Castle Rock season 2. She's down here for like a bunch of Golden Globes and stuff, Eighth Grade and stuff. So, and Jacob Lattimore, who's in like Detroit and Maze Runner, a bunch of other stuff, is co-starring. And Fede Alvarez, who directed the Evil Dead remake, is producing this one. He's not directing this one, he's producing it. And then it's basically sort of like the big feature film debut for David Blue Garcia, he directed like an indie movie called Tejano that got like some like awards from different film festivals, but this is like his first big like studio movie, it looks like. And yeah, so February 18th is when that's coming to Netflix. And it's also Legendary is also apparently has they have the rights to Texas Chainsaw now, so they're the ones kind of like they and Netflix are the ones making Texas Chainsaw Massacres now, I guess. Yeah, because the last one was Leatherface in 2017. That was like the last Texas Chainsaw movie. I think that wasn't that a prequel.
Forget.
I think that was like it's a prequel to like it's like the origin of Leatherface. Like Stephen Dorff was in it.
What?
Yeah. And then like Lionsgate had the rights, and then they lost the rights to Legendary. So now we're rebooting this. Kind of reboot, calling the franchise yet again. So last trailer for the week is we got the first trailer for MacGruber, the Peacock original series, which is coming out, I think, actually next week on the 16th is when that is a debuting. And yeah, so MacGruber's back. It was infamously like the movie flopped horribly when it first came out, but it's felt like a huge, huge cult following. Like everyone loves it now.
Oh yeah.
The series is picking up sort of the same. It's basically like kind of real time. Like it's basically like, cause like it was, it's been 10 years since the movie came out or so. So in the show, MacGruber's been like in jail for like a decade, and then he gets taken, like Lawrence Fishburne recruits him out of jail to take on a new old villain, Enos Queeth, who's played by Billy Zane. And so yeah, so MacGruber has to reassemble the team, which is like Ryan Phillippe and Kristen Wiig, and go take on Billy Zane. And yeah, I mean, it looks like all the ridiculousness of the movie is back. Like
it's good. Does the production value look decent, or did it go down?
Oh no, yeah, it looks good. It looks like movie. Like it looks like the same quality as like the MacGruber movie. So, And there's all kinds of like crazy stuff of like MacGruber's just in jail, just like ripping people's throats out like every day. Everyone just wants to rip throats out. He's just like, is this what you want? And then you also get like Sam Elliott is co-starring in this movie, and a bunch of other people, and Will Forte wrote all the episodes, is producing it obviously, and then Jermot Tacone is writing, directing, and producing it. So I mean, it's pretty much the team that did the movie is basically doing the show, and it has the exact same tone. It looks like just like the sequel we're all hoping for, like waiting for from MacGruber. Which I think that might, I don't know if Peacock has any sort of like free trial stuff going on, but that, like, I would probably pay whatever it is, like $5 or whatever, for like just like a month or whatever to be able to watch MacGruber. I don't know if I would do the whole $10, like, because I think it's like $5 for ads, $10 without ads. I don't know if I'd go full $10 Peacock, but I'd probably do like $5 Peacock. Yeah. Because I think it's all dropping at the same time. So yeah, like pay whatever and then watch it all, just cancel immediately.
Just be like, oops, delete.
Yep. But yeah, if you already have Peacock, I mean, it's, yeah, next week you can jump into MacGruber. Hopefully, maybe the first episode will be free, so you can like at least get a taste of what it's like, and then you can figure out if you want to. If you don't have Peacock, you can figure out if you want to get into it or not.
Watcher. Yeah.
So that's it for trailers this week. So why don't you jump into some other news? And we got some MCU news. So Kevin Feige was talking at, I believe there's like press events going on, obviously, for Spider-Man No Way Home, which is coming out next week. And he basically said, it's not like, there's no like project that's like, oh, he's definitely coming back in this project or whatever. But like, Kevin Feige basically said, if Daredevil shows up in the MCU at any point, it will be Charlie Cox still. Like, Charlie Cox is going to be the MCU's Daredevil if Daredevil is like used in any form in the MCU.
That's good.
So that's good, yeah. I wonder if what everyone is expecting to play out like next week with like the episode 5 of Hawkeye, which is apparently going to quote unquote break the internet, which everyone is expecting that's going to be like the return of Vincent D'Onofrio. I wonder if that's like the first domino, and then like pretty much like, oh, like a bunch of like, yeah, Netflix folks are going to start showing up again.
Just like a drunk Jessica Jones just stumbles into this. Yeah. I get out of my way. I'm walking here.
I would. Probably everyone except Iron Fist, because I think they just want to like forget Iron Fist ever happened and never do that again. And also Punisher, because like John Bernthal said, he doesn't want to show back up. If it's gonna be like a PG-13 Punisher. He wants to be like violent. He wants it to be true to like the Netflix show.
Oh, I hope like they sort of give him that one day, but I understand they don't because they want to make it family friendly. But he's got a point. Yeah. Like, you don't make family friendly Punisher.
Yeah. So yeah, Iron Fist and the Punisher, I don't think would be tougher to bring to the MCU proper. But yeah, like Jessica Jones, Luke Cage could probably show up. It seems like Daredevil is like probably going to show up soon if Kevin Feige's talking about it. And then Kingpin is going to be this time next week, like Kingpin will probably be back in the MCU proper. So yeah, all your Netflix favorites are gonna be back. Maybe.
Who knows?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still like they're off their own dimension though. Like that got so bizarre. Like they basically just said like they're in their own timeline. They're not here anymore. And like season 5 or 6, they're just like they screwed things up so much that they're in their own timeline.
Well, there's something I can't figure out was like they tried to and then they veered off course.
Well, they were like the first couple seasons, like especially like season 2 and 3, they were like super tied into like the MCU, like events of the MCU. Like they had like before like Age of Ultron came out, there's the whole episode where like they like the Avengers attacked one base and Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. attacked the other base for like the Hydra or whatever to get like the other thing that they were looking for. But then it was like, it got like less and less and less as it went on, until like the saddest like the Infinity War tie-in was like probably the most pathetic thing I've ever seen, where it's just like they were like dealing with their own alien threat, but then it's also like, oh man, we're fighting this alien. Also, Thanos is here. But they're like, look over there, it's Thanos.
I don't look too hard.
Yeah. And they didn't acknowledge any like the snapper, like none of them got snapped. They didn't acknowledge any, they're like whatever timeline they were in didn't have like the blip happen or something. So yeah, I don't think Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is gonna the only thing where Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is gonna like probably continue like come back at certain points is gonna be Coulson. Because he's already showed back up in like Captain Marvel and What If, so.
Yeah, but he's not gonna come back post things because I think Josh Whedon didn't like that, and now that Josh Whedon is gonna say, who knows?
Well, that was the whole thing about like all the shows prior to like the Disney Plus shows, is that there was like Marvel film and Marvel TV, and they were two separate like divisions. And they didn't talk to each other really. But now everything's under Kevin Feige, so that's why all the shows now are like super tied in. Like they're all like setting up movies. They're all like super like connected to everything. So because like yeah, Kevin Feige is like the like the head. Everything Marvel is him now.
I wonder like if that's going to be. Like going forward, it's just like one vision to connect everything. Because I feel like they're gonna try to stray, but like if he's gonna reel it in.
Oh, I mean, for the Disney Plus shows, he's like, I'm sure he's probably like, they have like whatever the timeline is or whatever the plan is, and like everything has to, all the shows are gonna tie into the movies, and all the movies are gonna tie into the shows. And, I mean, that's why like WandaVision and Loki are going to be like super tied into like Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness and stuff. Like they're both, I think Loki and Wanda are both showing up in that movie, so
that's good.
It's gonna, yeah, anything that like the shows are like much more important now post like Kevin Feige taking over everything, because yeah, the Netflix shows were like, hey, remember that thing that happened, that like of the events in New York, they're like wouldn't really like reference anything. They'd just be like the event with the thing that happened.
We can't say so, it, but you know what we're talking about.
So the other bit in MCU news, which is not surprising to anyone probably, is that the Shang-Chi sequel is officially on the way. Destin Daniel Cretton is going to be back to write and direct it, and yeah, not surprising. It's like it's the highest grossing MCU movie of the year. It's like the highest grossing movie of the domestic box office of the year. So
yeah, I can see why.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no word on plot or anything, but or like that, like the villain is or anything like that, but it's also probably pretty far down the line. It's probably gonna be like 2024 or 2025 or something, probably. Because we gotta get through like all the other like Phase 4 movies.
So you're setting up just Kang.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely up for some more. Some more Shang-Chi. I would like to see more. I mean, the when it got crazy, it was still fine. But like, I would definitely like more of like the first half of the movie, like more of like the like old, like the like Jackie Chan style kung fu stuff and like fights and everything, and less like the like crazy CG.
But
yeah. Also, like. It'd be hilarious if, like, at some point, I think it'd be awesome if, like, they, you know how, like, in, like, the Godzilla movies, like the Toho movies, they had, like, American Godzilla, and he got, like, destroyed in, like, 2 minutes. They had a cameo, and, like, original Godzilla killed him. It'd be hilarious if, like, Shang-Chi, like, if like Iron Fist shows up for like a second and then like Shang-Chi just like kills him or like beats the shit out of him. It's like I'm the martial arts master now.
He just gets the Iron Fist for unexpected reasons.
Yeah, I'm the Iron Fist now. Or like, not even like Finn Jones, just like a random dude in like an Iron Fist mask and just like gets the shit beat out of him. And then it'll probably be more tied into like whatever bigger events happening, because obviously the post credit scene of Shang-Chi was like he was like basically inducted into like the Avengers or like the like kind of like Avengers adjacent world.
Yeah. That part would
and
be weird.
Wong like, and oh, yeah, Marvel and Hulk. Like,
he's with them, but then it's like from what extent?
Yeah. And also it's like is Awkwafina an Avenger now? Like
she has her bow and arrow. Like
yeah.
she's Hawkeye again.
We have three Hawkeyes now. Like yeah, Awkwafina and Haley Steinfeld are gonna have to have like an arrow competition. Yeah.
And then later on into the Hawkverse.
Yep. So yeah, lots of exciting things happening in the MCU. So we also got some news this week that one of our patron saints, Sylvester Stallone, is gonna be starring in a new TV show. His first ever TV starring role. He's going to be in a new show called Kansas City, which is coming from Tyler Sheridan and Terrence Winter. So Tyler Sheridan is the showrunner of Yellowstone, the biggest show on television right now. And I think also he also I forget, but a bunch of other shows. I think obviously like the Yellowstone like prequel series is coming too. And Mayor Kingstown, speaking of Hawkeye, Drew Redder, and then Terrence Winter he wrote on The Sopranos and he also created Boardwalk Empire. So like very, very big, credentials coming for this show. And, Stallone is basically going to be an Italian mobster. It's going to be set in the present day, but he gets sent to Kansas City, Missouri, and he has to deal with he has to basically set up like a new branch of the mob in Kansas City.
Okay.
It's gonna be a crime thriller.
I mean, it's funny to see Stallone is just like pretend to be like a gangster in the middle of like a southern town. It's just Yellowstone.
Yeah,
it's Stallone's take on Yellowstone.
Yeah, I mean, from the guy who made Yellowstone.
Yeah, but it's just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just call this a Yellowstone spinoff. It's just like, no, we're calling this Kansas City.
Yeah. I feel like if it was like a period Pete movie, it'd probably be like, because like, if you watched Fargo, like, you know, like Kansas City was going crazy in like, whatever, like the 60s or the 50s, or whatever that was going on, so.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's like it was like the like there's like all sorts of like mobs like happening, like mob warfare going on in Kansas City. I don't know if like modern Kansas City is like that. It's like that,
no.
like crime ridden or anything. But yeah, because that was like the whole premise of like the last season of Fargo with like Chris Rock was like, you know, it was like Kansas City is just like this like war zone for like different gangs coming in. And then like the South Dakota or whatever that mob would always come down to like Kansas City too. So but yeah, I guess we'll see what the show is about. No, there's no network yet, so we don't know where it's going to be, if it's going to be streaming or it's going to be like broadcasts. I didn't see it. It's gonna be a Paramount Plus exclusive, so it'll be because obviously Tyler Sheridan has like a very close relationship with Paramount, so
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's gonna be you have to have Paramount Plus to be able to watch this. So, hopefully we'll get some more info soon. I don't think there's a release date yet, but there they just kind of set up like a writer's room for it. So it's going to get written in development soon here. I wonder if it's going to be, like if this and like, cause like Arnold's supposed to have like his, like, I think it's gonna be a Netflix show, like his like Netflix like spy show where it's like him and his daughter like going around
as like spies. True Lies.
Yeah, like the fake True Lies show. Like, what like, if this and like Sloan Show are gonna be up at the same time, like rekindle like the '90s like '90s superstar war. we haven't heard anything about that Arnold show in a while. Like,
it's like went dark.
I think they cast like his daughter on that show, and I think that was the last thing that happened. That was like months ago.
It's like, who was playing his daughter?
I had to look it up. I can't remember the name of the show right now. It was like, what the heck was it? It was something like Global or something. I can't. Oh, it's not even on. It's just like Wikipedia yet. Wow, okay. Did it get canceled? Maybe it got canceled. I don't know. We'll look it up and report back later. But anyway, Sloan's coming to Paramount Plus definitely at some point in the near future here. And we also got some news about another of the spin-offs for The Batman. So officially confirmed, Colin Farrell is gonna be back as the Penguin for a one of two The Batman spin-offs, because we're getting the like Gotham PD style show that's a spin-off of The Batman, and now we're getting this like show. It's basically gonna follow like the rise to power for the Penguin. And we're gonna see Colin Farrell in that movie in March next year, and then he'll be starring in this show. I guess we really can't like tell like figure out anything about the show until you kind of see the movie and more see what the Penguin's like. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. We don't know what it's gonna be like.
Hopefully both these shows are going to be a little bit more like grounded and less horrible than Gotham.
Gotham first season wasn't bad. There was a lot of hope, and then it just went off the rails.
Yeah, I watched the whole first season, and I watched like a couple episodes of the second season. I'm just like, I'm done. Like, and everything I read about it, like later on, I was just like, I confirmed my choice. I'm like, I made the right choice.
Yeah. As soon as they introduced like the Joker, or some form of the Joker, and then the crazy, like, okay, all the bad guys are teaming with good guys, all the good guys becoming bad guys, and then Barbara becoming her own psycho character.
Yeah.
I was like, I am done. I think Joe watched all of it.
Although I probably Batwoman Season 2 would probably, like, compete with, like, the craziness of, like, anything that was in Gotham. Just, the insanely convoluted, scheme to, like, just like, instead of just recasting Ruby Rose, just like, we gotta come up with a whole crazy plot to like justify a new character or a new actress playing her. Like, all right. There's like brainwashing and facial surgery and Black Mask is involved. Like,
wasn't there, and then just the twins part pissed me off. The whole, there's two crazy people that just need gas as their power.
On Batwoman?
Oh, sorry.
On Gotham?
On Gotham, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm thinking, wait. It, like, fell into that, like, hole of, like, okay, the crazy twin part was, we'll take original Batwoman, we'll change her up, we'll make her, like, bad, and then, isn't she good now?
So basically, yeah, there's a plane crash, and then Black Mask, like, I guess, or someone who worked for Black Mask found Kate Kane on Batwoman, and then, like, they, like, brainwashed her, and also, like, gave her plastic surgery to look like Black Mask's dead daughter, and then they had like a, I think it was like basically like a psychiatrist, and she could make like false memories and implant false memories. So then basically like warped Kate's mind to make her think that she was like the daughter of Black Mask. And then the whole season, like it's like the whole build up, and they build up for the whole season, and like they finally broke like the mind control or whatever, and then she remembered who she was. But then she's like, "Well, I'm gonna go find Bruce now. Bye, everybody." She just left this whole season set up like we have a new actress, we're all set to go, and it's just like, and she's gone. Bye. Like, she'll be back maybe. I don't know. Like, wouldn't it have just been easier to be like, here, like we're just gonna recast, like just recast and not mention it.
Just deal
with it. Like, you just have to deal with, like, oh, like she looks slightly different now.
Don't mention the difference. Just that's yeah. Who they are.
Or do like the plane crash thing. And just but then like just have her be like, oh, we had your face is burned. We had to do like reconstructive surgery on your face. And you look different now or something. But I don't know. That whole season was just, like insanity of just like. It's just like we have to work backwards for this one point, and then what's the most convoluted way we get to this point? Anyway, hopefully these Batman spinoffs are less convoluted and less insane than Gotham or Batwoman. But we'll find out. I guess we'll find out either like late next year or 2023. So, last bit of news for the week is that we got some news about the upcoming The Last of Us show. So, we got some casting news. Nick Offerman is going to be playing Bill in The Last of Us, who, if you played the first game, he was a pretty major character in the first bit of the game. You ran into him, like, in the first, he was by himself in, like, this town that Joel and Ellie show up to, and then he kind of, like, helps you get through the town.
Right.
So I guess we're gonna get that in the show, and Nick Offerman will be Bill guiding Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey around.
Like we're basically watching The Mandalorian, but this time without the armor.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. I wonder if we're gonna get like a. I mean, I don't know how much they've been filmed. If they have enough for a trailer yet, because I definitely want to see a trailer for the show.
Yeah, I just need to see a trailer to see more of his image.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting anything from the because the Game Awards are this week, so there's gonna be like when we're recording this, we're not gonna be like we have not seen any of the trailers yet, but like next week we'll talk about there's supposed to be like the trailer for like the Halo show, and also like the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 trailer is supposed to be at the Game Awards. But yeah, I don't nothing from The Last of Us yet. But yeah, hopefully maybe like sometime, early next year we'll get The Last of Us. There's no release date yet for it, so we don't know when it's gonna debut on HBO. But hopefully next year, and hopefully we'll get a trailer soon for it. I'm definitely curious to see like what because like they said it's gonna be the plot of the first game, but then also they're gonna like expand. And like go into stuff that the game didn't get into, so I'm definitely curious like what they're gonna add to the show that's not in the game.
There's probably more characters.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're gonna introduce characters earlier from like number two to make sense.
Or maybe more of like what the hell like Joel was up to, like from like the like opening to like it jumps like 20 years later or so whatever it was.
Was it 20 years? I always thought it was 10.
It's some sort of crazy jump where it's like after the opening where like when the infection starts, and then it's like jumps to like, yeah, I think it's like 20 years later or something.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's like two decades of stuff we didn't see what the hell Joel was up to with like his like smuggling business. But yeah, definitely excited to see for that show, and hopefully we'll get to see some of what's going on with it soon. And that's gonna be an HBO I think it's gonna be HBO, like actual, like it will air on HBO, but it's also gonna be obviously on HBO Max as well. I don't think, it's not gonna be an HBO Max exclusive. It's gonna be like on regular HBO if you have like cable or whatever, so you can still see it if you don't have HBO Max. And that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, you and I saw Home Sweet Home Alone for our latest commentary. They'll be up. I think it'll be up on Christmas Eve in a couple weeks here.
Yes. Yes.
But man, what a baffling, bizarre movie.
Like, what can we say about it that isn't just like super confusing and insulting? Really hard, right?
Well, I think just like probably the most baffling thing about it is just like the fact that they make the villains, quote unquote, the villains, like super sympathetic and likable, and it's just like you don't like you're like rooting for them to like actually like break in and steal whatever they're trying to steal, and then our hero is like a like insufferable spoiled brat who you hate.
Oh yeah. Oh totally. Like I did not like Max.
No.
He really paints himself to be like such a jerk, and then no choice.
Yeah, he's like a 1%er asshole who is like attacking and like this like the hardworking people of where like their house is gonna be foreclosed on, and they're trying to like save their house and their family, and like this like shitty little kid is just like I'm gonna fight you in my mansion with all my toys, and I'm gonna like go to, like I'm gonna like I don't care.
Yeah, it's like
my family's rich.
No, like, it is like he is a 1%er yelling at the 99%.
Yep.
And there's like I understand if they did it that way and then they kind of make him redeemable, but he does not change at all during this whole movie. Like Kevin McAllister, like unfortunately you're comparing it to like the first movie where it has a good arc.
Which apparently this movie takes place in the same universe as because Buzz shows up.
And then, like, the people who made this movie, they kind of, like, lean into the whole idea that, like, oh, we're going to subverse your expectations. But they didn't. Well, like,
I feel disappointed. I feel like everyone involved, like, cared and, like, liked the Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney characters so much more. So, like, because, like, the ratio is also, like, way off. Like, there's, like, Max is barely in this movie. And then it's just, like, you're just constantly following, like, Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney. Like they're the main characters basically in the movie. Not Max is like a side character who just is like the antagonist basically.
Yeah. Weird to think that, but I mean the movie forces you to because you just have no choice because we spend so much time with them. We understand their faults. We understand their fears. We understand like their life. The risk, like they don't want to be burglars. Like this is not like a they have to be a burglar.
Yeah.
And they're not good at it, and that's the point. But my God, do they really slap you in the face with the trying to make them seem like slapstick, but you just feel pity for them.
Mm-hmm. And they do like it's like. At certain times, they like remember. It's like, oh wait, this is a Home Alone movie, not like a like whatever this other movie is. We have to throw in like there's like the most briefest of montages of like Max like being like, oh I'm having fun by myself, and then it turns out that it was like an hour or something, like a day or something.
Oh, it's like, 1 hour, and he's like done. He's like, oh
yeah.
Now what
and
do
then,
I do?
Yeah, and then there's barely any of like the stuff of like you know like Kevin like figuring out how to like deal with stuff by himself or like. There's so much stuff before like he sets the traps that like you're like spending time with Kevin, like he like goes to the grocery store and steals that toothbrush and he orders pizza by himself and like he's like doing this like aftershave stuff and everything, and then there's none of that in this movie. You see the opening montage of, like Max like eating junk food or whatever and like parroting Scarface. Like what the fuck was that? Like
He's so young. Where is he watching Scarface?
It's a Scarface parody in a Disney Plus original movie. Like, I don't think we even saw that coming.
Nope. Well, we saw that from a trailer,
but geez. And then, Yes, so you get that, and then there's barely anything else until like the like trap stuff shows up. Like he just goes to the church for some reason, like that like Ellie Kemper and Robert Delaney go to, and then like tries to steal or like wants to. It's just like that's why I truly like started to hate him. It's like he shows up at church and there's gifts, toys for the poor there, like it's like toys for tots kind of thing. And he's just like, well, where's my cart, I'm gonna take all these toys.
It's like, this is who we're rooting for, and this is after like at least an hour in the movie, so it's like, yeah, we just hate his guts already, and it's like, yeah, not redeemable.
And then,
but
like,
he tries his best.
And it's also weird too, because like there's basically nothing with like the mom. She because that was like a whole arc of like the first movie too, is like Catherine O'Hara just trying to get home, all the horrible things she used to go through, and then like fucking like Max's mom just like, I'm on a plane for a long flight. Isn't that horrible? I'm on an 8-hour direct flight from Japan.
Like, I got to sit here and wait, this weird and guy, then I need to call my Uber later.
Yeah. they don't set up the dynamics of the family at all. Like, we had no idea who the fuck anyone was related to, or like who the hell anyone was.
We thought one character was an assistant. We didn't even know that was like an aunt.
Yeah. Like, Pete Holmes is there, and we thought Pete Holmes was, like, the dad, but he's an uncle. And Chris Parnell is there, and he's an uncle. And then Andy Daly is, like, the husband, but he has one line. It's, like, 5 seconds of screen time. He just doesn't say anything or do anything. So
like,
why the fuck is Andy Daly there?
We're like, whoa, yeah. We were confused by that. We're like, wait, what? Like, you're in this movie?
Yeah, I don't... Like, they must have just... Like, Disney must have just had, like, truckloads of money, or... People were just like, oh, Home Alone, yeah, I know that, I'll be in that. Because, like, the cat, like, the people that got this movie is crazy. Like, Pete Holmes, Chris Parnell, Andy Daly, Keenan. Like, Keenan's in, like, two scenes. Like, Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney. Like, I mean, who else shows up? There's a whole bunch of, for the first, like, hour, we're just like, wait, they're in this movie, too? Like, how did they get this person in this movie? Like...
It's a lot of, like, who is who, and they, like, freaked us out during the commentary, because we're like, did this go to a different movie?
Yeah.
It almost felt like it became, I forgot this, like, other comedy movie where, like, a whole bunch of comedians were in it, but essentially, like, there's a lot, it's a powerhouse, like, comedy team, but, like, just utterly useless, like, because the movie's not about them, it's all about the trio of characters.
Yeah. Oh, they also, another weird thing is that they also, like, because in the first one, the first two, I don't know about five and six, or like four and five, but like definitely the first three, there's like always like an older person that like the kid Kevin, like Kevin, the first two, and then like whatever the kid, like in the third one was. It's like an older person. It's like they're like misunderstood, but then they like become friends with them.
Totally skip that.
Well, it's weird because they make Ellie Kemper, Rod Blaney, that character too. Like, it's like they're the wet bandits and like the like misunderstood people that like becomes friends with like the kid. Because that was the whole like spoilers for like Hopes Home Alone at the end. But like it's like they break into it's like. They like resolve their misunderstanding. It's like, oh, you can spend Christmas with us. Like, Max, you can stay with us until your parents come back. And we'll all have a Merry Christmas together. Even though you probably gave Rob Blaine like irreparable brain damage. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even though like one of them is probably have like maybe one or both has internal bleeding, but spend Christmas with us. It's like, okay, just to prove how good they are and how terrible they got treated at this house.
Yeah. Also, gotta say, traps, pretty lame. Like, I don't think there's any really memorable traps.
They feel like traps that you saw on YouTube. Like, a lot of it doesn't seem very, like, kiddy. Like, kid.
Yeah.
Inspired.
He apparently iced the whole street, but then everyone, like, no one had any trouble driving or walking on it, except for those two. Like, he froze over the entire driveway plus the street, apparently. And then, what was it? He put, like, he put, like, like push pins into like Nerf darts.
Yep, that was pretty painful.
And then he had like pool balls and some sort of like launcher, like a pipe, like kind of like a pipe gun launcher or something. And then the stupidest one is that he puts fucking Rob Delaney in like a VR headset, and then like Rob Delaney actually thinks he's on a fucking cliff.
Yeah, this guy can't get a job in the Chinese market, and this happened.
He's just like, oh my god, I got teleported to a cliff. Oh my god, I'm gonna fall off the cliff. Yeah.
I mean, again, that's for the kids. It's just a little insulting where it's like, now the main audience who's seen this movie is more gearing towards Rob Delaney now. Like, we are in that category.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very, very bizarre. And you can like watch it along with us in a week or two here. So,
it's good commentary. It's good commentary. Yeah, fun. Yeah. We had a blast making it and talking about it and pointing out the flaws, many, many flaws, and trying not to compare so much to the original, but you just couldn't help it.
Yeah, you gotta. So, have you seen anything besides Home Sweet Home Alone, Chris?
What have I seen? I'm still just kind of catch up on Castlevania season 4. Uh-huh. Trying to finish that out. But yeah, no, just been hectic at day job, so not a lot of fun yet.
All right, well, probably the only other thing I saw besides Home Sweet Home Alone is I saw Candyman, the new one.
Oh, so some more sweet stuff.
The direct sequel to the original. I think they're kind of doing Home Alone style, or like all these other like kind of like reboot-quels where it's like the other ones don't exist, and then this new one is like the new sequel to the original one.
The sequel doesn't exist. Candyman 2, Die Candyman Die, or whatever it was, or like.
No, I don't think any of the sequels are kind of like canon now, quote unquote.
I think there's only like 3 Candyman movies.
I think there was, yeah, well, I think there was, like, there's Candyman, Candyman Farewell to the Flesh, and then there was Day of the Dead.
I've seen just the first two. I don't think I remember seeing the third one. But it doesn't matter now. It's going straight out the window just for...
There was going to be, like, a fourth one in, like, whenever it was, like a full, like, Tony Todd starring one. But then that got canceled. Now we have like this kind of reboot bowl. So this new one, pretty good. It's just some kind of like weird, like mythology stuff to the Candyman lore. But I guess spoilers for this one and spoilers for the first one. But basically, do you remember? So the end of the first one, there was like the baby that got taken by Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Virginia Madsen, like, Helen had to, like, was able to, like, rescue, and then, like, Candyman wanted to, like, kill himself and Helen and the baby in, like, the bonfire, and then, like, to remake his legend, like, make sure his legend got, like,
Scare the next spread. Generation of, like, people living in this ghetto.
Yeah, but then Helen was able to, like, get the baby out, and then she, like, burned up with the Candyman. So basically, this movie, spoilers, is that, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is that baby grown up now.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he is an artist, and then he is, his girlfriend is, Teona Paris, who is from, who's on WandaVision. And she's like an art gallery director. And he's trying to like figure out like his new project, and he basically starts like researching like Cabrini Green and Candyman. And also, like, Cabrini Green has become, like, gentrified, so it's all, like, rebuilt up as, like, high-rises and fancy apartments now. But there's still, like, a little part of, like, the original, like, project there still. So that's where, like, Anthony goes there to research, and, like, he runs into, like, this old, this guy runs, like, a laundromat, like, tells him all about Candyman.
He's never heard of this?
Yeah, well, because apparently, like, after, like, the... the events of the first movie, like everyone in Community Green was like, we're never gonna speak of Candyman ever again. So like no one has talked about Candyman for like decades since that happened.
Oh my god, it's like a community agreement.
Yeah. But then the kind of mythology thing they add to this new Candyman is that Tony Todd, like Daniel Robitaille, he's not the only Candyman. There's a quote unquote hive of Candymen.
What?
So it's so like anyone like any sort of like which I guess Helen is also, because like she got summoned at the end of the first one. She's part of the hive, I guess. But like anyone who's sort of like, but it's mostly like black men who like if they are killed under like horrible circumstances, they become like a Candyman.
A type of Candyman.
Yeah. So there's a whole like slew of other Candymen besides Tony Todd, and there's a new one. There's the main one that shows up now is like this guy from the 70s who was like he would actually hand out candy to kids, but he was not like a like murderer. He was just like he kind of was like mentally challenged, but he was like that he was totally innocent of like not he wasn't doing anything. But then razor blades were showing up with candy around like the city, so like he got kind of like wrongfully accused and murdered by the police because they thought he was like this killer Candyman person. So and then so but now he's like the he started to become he became like one of the candy like the summoned Candyman, and he's the one then he's like the main Candyman in this movie, like killing everyone, because like once Yaya Doteen starts like because he makes like a whole art project about it and stuff, so then so like the legend is back out there, so people are starting to like say Candyman again, like do like the Candyman mirror thing. So now the Candyman is back out there in the world. But then there's also another weird thing where like he gets stung by a bee, and then I guess it's part of like the Candyman bees or whatever, because he starts like transforming into like a Candyman.
Okay.
Like he gets like this like his whole body he starts getting this horrible like it almost looks like the flesh eating disease or whatever, like his whole like arm starts like decaying and
gets gangrene.
He starts going through like this horrible transformation, and he's becoming like, so it's weird because like so like it's if you get if someone gets like horrifically like a horrible racist or like racially charged murderer, like they get killed unjustly, you become a Candyman. But also like you can just like you also like get stung by a bee and become a Candyman, I guess. It's kind of like
that's like the rules.
It's sort of like, yeah, the rules are kind of confusing. Like how do you become a Candyman? Like how do you decide like what Candyman like is like coming out to like kill people? Because it's like, because like obviously Tony Todd was the 70s Candyman Sherman, like he was not the last, like he was the most recent Candyman. Like Tony Todd was the most recent Candyman, but like how are they hanging out together?
Todd, like the one from like the plantation era.
Yeah, but then he was also the one in the 90s. It's like if there's a whole bunch of them, like how do they decide like which one is gonna be like out there killing people, like to take shifts? It's like it's your turn, Daniel. You're up now. Like
is there only one at a time?
Yeah, it seems like the only one time, because like everyone who summons Candyman in this movie gets killed by like Sherman from the 70s. So it's I was just trying to figure like if there's a whole bunch of Candyman, like how would they decide which one is gonna be the one? Is it the last one you hear about? Because like that's the one that like Anthony hears about from like the older like laundromat guy played by Colman Domingo. So that, like that's the Candyman that he tells him about. So is it just that, like is it the one you hear about is the one that comes and kills you? I don't know.
I guess that sort of makes sense. You don't get killed by like random ones. You get ones that
Helen in the first one was like research. She was like researching like Daniel Robitaille. So that's the one that showed up, I guess, when she was like investigating. So I guess that's like kind of the logic you put on it, is like whatever one you hear about is the one that shows up.
And then it seems like when they show up, they need a kill to go back, right? Like they don't really have a plan. They're just like, oh, you summoned me, I have to kill you.
They're killing to let because they want their like legend to like they want the fear and the legend, I guess, or something. They're kind of I guess they're sort of like Freddy-esque, where they have to keep like their like the power comes from like their legend or something, I guess. But then there's like a weird thing at the end of this one where like Colman Domingo is like trying to make Yaya Dubutin like a new kind of Candyman that like is like if a black person summons them, then they'll like he'll he'll like answer injustices. Like he'll be
Are you gonna be like an Avenger?
an anti-hero Candyman, but like if like you know, like if there's like police brutality or something else going on, like you can like call someone Candyman and he'll like because that's what happened. It's like Anthony becomes the new Candyman, but like if you summon him, he's like killing like these like corrupt cops for like trying like set up like oh he was coming after us with like gun or whatever. Like you saw that, right? Like he was trying to kill us all. Like even though he was already like dying and they kill him.
Wow.
So it's so the so it's like now he's now like Candyman is like an avenging force or something. But it's also weird because then he transforms like there's this weird thing at the end where like he tr like Yaya Dubutin turns into Tony Todd like a CG Tony Todd for like a second and it's like so now he's like back in that form he's just like spread my
Oh, the
net shit.
coat.
Yeah. Well, like
I mean,
they like.
they kind of tease that in
Yeah.
the trailer, so that's not totally shocking, but it's
They
still kind of weird.
like he gets like his face gets covered in bees and then like his like the bees like I guess like then like his face like transforms like a CG kind of de-aged Tony Todd and then like he's like tell everyone and then that's the end of the movie. Which also it's also weird like the I feel like the bee thing is also kind of like that I feel like that's not related to like everyone. Like cause not like that was like very specific to like Tony Todd. Because they covered him in honey and like had bees like sting
Yeah,
him to
that's
death,
the classic Candyman thing.
but like all the Candymen have bees with them.
What?
So, but all of them didn't get killed by bees. So it's like that's sort of like a weird like
That's a continuation error.
you become a Candyman now you get like bee powers I guess or something too. There's just a little, like I feel like they try to expand the lore and it kind of just makes it more confusing.
Yeah, because like I like the first two movies, but this is weird.
Yeah, but there are some really cool kills in it. They do a really cool thing. There's a lot of cool stuff with like mirrors, and they do a really cool thing where like, they you only see like when someone summons the Candyman, they like you never see him in like the real world, quote unquote. You only see him in the mirror. But then if he like picks someone up or like is like slashing someone, if you like you'll see it like happen to like the person, but you don't see the Candyman like physically in the world. You only see like him in the mirror doing it, and it's also like any kind of mirror. So like there's a cool like sequence where like these like high school girls like do the Candyman's like ritual, and then you see like one of them drops like a makeup compact, and so you see like what's going on from like the mirror like the makeup compact mirror. So and you see like them like get killed in like the background.
That's kind of interesting.
Yes, so there. If you want, it, like the kills are like super cool and interesting, and there's like some really cool like visual stuff going on. So I would say it's worth checking out. It's just yeah, just like the lore stuff is like a little is like kind of confusing if you're trying to like figure out what the hell like how Candymen work now. You have to figure out
So,
like
see,
instead
wouldn't
of
the
the
movie be make sense where it's like called Candy Men?
yeah, because there's like a whole there's like a half dozen of them.
But they introduce like really weird rules now.
Yeah, which well that not even they don't even really introduce rules. It's just they just like sort of like here's this idea, but then they don't explain like how like yeah we're talking about like they explain like which how you determine like which one shows up and like. What are the rules? How do you become a Candyman? Because it seems like there's two different ways to become a Candyman. Like, because like Yadier Batista is like becoming like he's going through this whole other way of becoming Kenny, which is like he's just like this like body horror transformation, but then like everyone else kind of just got like the like horrificness of their like deaths or their murders like caused them to become Candyman. So yeah, I would say if it's streaming somewhere or like if grab from like a Redbox or something, yeah, if you like the first one, this one's pretty good. I haven't seen this. I've only seen the original one, this one, so I haven't seen like two or three for Candyman, but
I think we should see three. It's the one where it takes place in 2020 and he's got a cyber hook.
Oh man, watch that for a commentary.
Yeah, that's definitely like my radar now, because like yeah. I remember the marketing for three and it was like Candyman the future, and that it was pretty like basic where it's like it's just gonna be
Did he go like, to space? Was it in space or was it just like
no?
It was just like so they didn't do like a like Leprechaun or
no. You figured they would, but they never did.
Candyman in space. You gotta look in the space mirror five times. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We have all of our usual stuff up there. We've got last month's commentary up there to check out before you dive into Home Sweet Home Alone, which last month we did Gus, another Disney classic from the 70s. You can check that out that's up right now. And all the regular features and news and everything are up on the site. So you head over and check all the stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.